Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast. Brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Does that mean you think you're going number one?
I know I'm going number one.
It's time to restock the shelves of professional basketball.
Aiden, one-on-one with Metsu. The double comes. It doesn't matter. And one.
Let's see what the NBA movers and shakers have in mind. This is a draft week edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center, your summer outdoor project and remodeling store. Online at shurway.com.
Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
See, Childish Gambino right there.
Oh, yeah, I knew this right off the top of my head.
This is one of his finer singles called Baby Napkins. Great hit.
I know This Is America. I know that one.
Wait, what?
Well, This Is America was the song in the first open.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Yeah.
This is 3005.
I haven't even seen the video.
3005, see, told you. It's also, some refer to it as Baby Napkins, but you got to be really cool to know that.
It's like kind of an inside sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like a speakeasy.
So the, let me just flip it back there real quick. The Beavers and the Huskies still haven't resumed.
No.
They're in a weather delay. So 5-4 5-4 Huskies in the sixth.
So what is that now? 6 o'clock Omaha time? Are they 2 hours ahead of us? Or are they just?
Yeah, they're Midwest. They're central.
So I wonder at what point are we getting to maybe?
Yeah, don't we have another game too?
Getting pushed into the next day, but they're not going to start the other game until this one's done.
No, I know, but I mean, you can't start it so late. We'll see. We'll keep posted on that. We'll get to our stock watch in our next segment. And in the news, big national news today.
Space Force.
I'm applying for a job. I've had enough of this radio crap.
Big world news for the kids.
Now, was someone yelling, you were talking about the crowds, was someone yelling mashed potatoes?
I didn't hear a mashed potatoes.
Someone says to completely agree about the mashed potato idiots.
Well, that was a thing too for a while. Like they say something new every time, but mashed potatoes was one
that was what you yell out.
They would scream. Like there were a couple guys, Dustin Johnson missed a big putt, and I don't remember what hole it was, but it's like it's okay, big guy.
Yeah, I heard that there was
get him, big guy.
Yeah, the big guy was a common factor there.
It's just stupid, you know. Anyway,
let's blame Jersey.
Oh, yeah, no question. It's clearly Mike's people.
Clearly.
That are the problem. Okay. Now, to a very unfortunate football story.
Yeah, this is awful. And it's not just a football story. It's just a tragic tale, period.
Well, it's making our show because the kid played football.
Yeah.
And he's the linebacker of the Ducks. And you'll have to help me. Fotu Laietau?
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Is that right? So he's the guy who recently got kicked off the team.
Yeah, he'd had a couple problems. This wasn't his first arrest, but he had been booted off. But he'd be a guy that played 3 years at Oregon, some at safety, some at linebacker. Bally Counts was a well-liked guy, but you know, had some problems staying out of the police blotter.
Yeah, so he was rolling around down in Eugene with his buddy, who is a guy by the name of Pedro Chavarin Jr.
Yeah.
And Pedro, about 2:30 a.m., and I don't know, was this Friday night or Saturday night? Or
no, maybe I think
Saturday
morning. I think I saw this Friday night, Saturday morning.
Yeah, so the guy rolls his car.
Yeah, he was in a Kia sedan.
And Leitu is riding with him, and the guy rolls his car, and he ends up being drunk, and the cops come, and he gets taken to the hospital and gets treated, but then he was charged with DUI.
Yeah.
And he told the cops that there was no one in the car with him.
Yep. So it was 2:30 when he rolled the car, at least when the cops showed up. He said he's the only one there. And then about 7 in the morning, a passerby was driving and spotted a hand sticking out of the brush, at which point, you know, they called the police and they found that hand to be the, you know, to be that of a Fotu.
Yeah. So, wow. Like this dude rolls his car, kills his buddy, but at the very least knows that his buddy has been thrown from the car and doesn't say anything to the cops about it. But at the very worst, did he find him alive, or did he find him dead and bury and sort of try to cover up his body, or what the hell?
Yeah, who knows? There's so many questions. So when I first saw this on Friday, it didn't make any sense. Like, because the initial report was that he died in a car wreck, and then it came out that he was found in the brush, and I was kind of scratching my head, and it took a little bit to kind of put the pieces together, but. You know, therein lies the question. Was he alive at the time of the crash? Did he die instantly? Was he aware of the condition of his friend?
Well, he had to have been, because, like, you're telling me that he got out of the car and just never checked on the guy? Never checked on Fotu, I mean?
Well, that's my question is, did he not know where he was at? Could he not find the body? Who knows? Like, that's my question is this.
See, I'm guessing he knew.
It's hard to imagine.
I'm guessing he knew he was dead.
And then you panic.
Like, nope, nobody else in the car with
you. Yeah, you know, you hit the panic button because obviously this changes everything. But it'll be interesting to figure out if they can determine, did he die instantly or did he die later on?
Dude, that's brutal.
Because look, it's a horrible thing either way. But if he was alive at the time of the crash and the son of a gun didn't say anything about it, that makes it that much worse.
That's the worst scenario there.
Yes. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to say that in any way this is okay, but, you know, I guess you can paint the scenario if you're trying to find some sort of excuse for the guy that, you know, the guy rolls his car there, you know, you're both intoxicated. You go and you find your buddy and he's dead and you freak out and you panic and you're drunk and you don't know what to do. He's clearly dead. And you hit the panic button and you say, well, yeah, I was the only one in the car. That to me is at least a...
So he's covering for him... not knowing that he was dead. Like, in other words, he thought, well, if he's alive down there, I don't want to get him in trouble.
No, it would be more,
right?
I guess I'm painting the picture of if he knew his friend was dead. I don't know. I guess that's different to me than, like, I can understand. I'm trying to put myself in, what is the guy's name?
What's his nuts?
Chavarin Jr. So I guess I'm trying to put myself in his mindset, right? You're drunk, you roll your car, and you just killed your friend. You find him, and you're like, holy hell, I just killed my buddy. And the
Pedro Chavarin.
Pedro. And the police show up. I guess I can understand or at least try to realize that at that point, maybe you're just so freaked out. Right. You just had this traumatic event. Your friend's dead and you freak out and you don't want to admit to yourself. You don't want to admit to the cops that you just killed your friend, that you just killed another individual. And you say, yeah, I was the only one in the car. That to me is different than either A, not looking for him and just being like, yeah, I was the only one in the car. I don't know what happened to him. Or B, finding him alive, not wanting to deal with the repercussions of it and lying about it. And taking almost 5 hours in order for someone to find him in the brush. I know that that's splitting hairs, but to me, that is different.
Well, I was bringing up the idea that he rolls the car and Fotu's gone. And he maybe assumes that because he's okay, that Fotu was okay.
Yeah.
And so if he's not there, then he doesn't want to rat him out. Like,
yeah, maybe he got up and left.
He's saying, oh, well, hopefully he's okay. He's not here. I'm not going to rat him out that he was in the car, because then he'll get in trouble too.
I hadn't thought about that, but that's another one.
Maybe he was thinking that way. I don't know. Either way, it's a horrible story.
It's awful.
Very horrible.
Well, and you just...
Super bad horrible.
Yeah, and no one ever... I'm not trying to say anything negative here, but, you know, it's a young man that had put himself in bad situations time and time again. And, you know, if you continue to put yourself in awful situations, bad things can occur, and no one... is saying that this was deserved or anything like that. But by all accounts, he was a great kid. People really liked him. And it sucks that, you know, that he kept making bad choices and getting in a car with someone, obviously. And we don't know if he was drunk or exactly what was happening, but we know the guy driving the car was drunk and it was another bad choice, and this one ended up being fatal, and it's heartbreaking.
All right, coming up next, it's time for our primetime stock watch. Very exciting, what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports on The Fan.
And you need to take stock of your rights. 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right, it's 419 on The Fan with Robin Zook. We're back here. Having a good time, sports and hard for you guys. Waiting for the Beavers game to get cranked back up. So while we do that, let's go to Young Mike.
Let's watch some stock.
Let's do it.
I mean, it hasn't sunk in yet, to be honest with you. I think it's much more gratifying the second time. I can really appreciate how hard it is to win a major and to, you know, win back-to-back is special. And, you know, my second major is cool. You know, hopefully there will be, you know, a few more.
You know, my second major is cool.
It's cool.
That's Brooks Koepka on his back-to-back U.S. Open wins. Koepka's moved from 9th to 4th in world golf rankings with that win. Buy or sell, Koepka is a top 5 golfer, in your opinion.
I'll defer to Mr. Rupp on this one, who watches a ton more golf than I do.
Do you mean right now or, like, on tour? Like, just general top 5 guys.
General
that are out
top
there.
5 golfer.
Then I would say, if you say general top 5 guys that are out there, no, he's not. But he is a top 5 golfer right now. I mean, he is top 5 in the world rankings. I think it's Dustin Johnson, Justin Rose, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, and Brooks Koepka.
But didn't you say that he had only won once?
Yes.
On tour outside of the 2 U.S. Open victories?
That's right. And so if you want the top 5 guys that are out there, and by that I would say just talents, just pure talents that are on tour, he's not one of the top 5. That would be like Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth.
Ricky Fowler.
Maybe Fowler, but you'd have McIlroy for sure. Yeah. But some of those guys aren't having that great a year. So it's semantics, but I'd say right now he is certainly a top 5 guy. He just won the U.S. Open, but overall, no.
I can go off of just, again, what you read and what you hear, and I've never heard anyone refer to Brooks Koepka as a top 5 golfer, and so I'll pass on it.
It wasn't funny. It was disappointing for the millions of people out there that enjoy this game that watch that. I would think that they're disappointed. And
why?
Well, this is one of the guys who's a legend in our game. And if that's how he wants to run out his career, I don't think he would have done that at the Masters, where he's won 3 times.
Why not?
Well, because he wouldn't do that there. I think he has enough respect for them. I think that was crazy. And this is one of the greatest short game players in the world. If that ball rolls off the green, you don't think he's got some kind of chance to maybe get it back up and in? Disappointed.
There's ESPN's Andy North on the Phil Mickelson putting situation. Buy or sell, this is the stupidest overreaction to something of all time.
Yes, I buy this. This is ridiculous. Again, we were up at Chambers, so I didn't see this live. When I saw the Twitter reaction to it, and just like Ian O'Connor wrote a big scathing piece about Phil needs to resign, and then Rick Riley threw his hat
resign
in the ring.
Resign from what?
Resign from the U.S. Open. They wanted him to quit.
Oh, withdraw.
They wanted him. Yeah, it wasn't enough, and the USGA should have booted him. And I mean, for God's sakes, the guy did something that you haven't seen very much before. You said John Daly had done it, and yeah, it probably was pretty bush league, but he was apologetic, said he didn't mean any harm by it. It broke his will. The guy had a brain fart out there. But did he go and defecate all over the U.S. Open? No. Calm down. And this is where sometimes golf loses me, the self importance of it and the respect of the game. Sometimes it's so stuffy. I just roll my eyes at the self-importance of it, and this is one of those times for me.
Well, I too would, I'll tell you this. I'll sell the stock. I don't think it's the stupidest overreaction to something of all time. That's quite a bold statement, but I do think that people overreacted. I was kind of with you on that. I mean, look, golf's great. One of the reasons golf's great is the reverence and respect that players have for the game and players have for one another. I think it's cool that they're all, you know, just so cool to each other. And I don't know, there's something about that is unique to golf that's wonderful. So you do get stickler golf guy who, and there's a lot of them, who get pissed when Phil kind of, or when anybody, you know, does something that sort of denigrates that a little bit. This is akin to me. What he did was, you know, look, he knows that he shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
I also think that he didn't do it because he thought it would save him shots. No. I know Phil said afterwards, he said, oh, if my ball rolled all the way back down there, then I actually would have saved shots by just taking the two-shot penalty. That's such BS, and that's what kind of pisses a lot of people off about Phil.
Because he clearly was talking to the official, and he even said afterwards that he wasn't sure what happened. And who was it, Beef Johnson, that he was talking to, the same sort of thing as playing partner. He didn't even know what was going to happen moving forward.
He was pissed. He was frustrated, and he knew he was out of it, and he didn't want to go hit the ball again. He was like, F it. I'm not walking all the way back down there hitting that shot again. So I'm just going to, you know, and he even said, there have been times when I've wanted to do that before, and I've never done it.
Yeah.
So he shouldn't have done it. And he said that, look, it's, you know, it wasn't my finest moment, but it's akin to, like, Tiger dropping F-bombs, right? Like, everybody used to get on Tiger Woods for dropping F-bombs, and... No, he shouldn't drop F-bombs. Won't somebody please think of the children? However, it's just so relatable that it's hard to blame him. Like, who doesn't drop F-bombs on the golf course? Who doesn't whack the ball? You're so pissed that you hit such a terrible putt that you don't run over there and whack it again before it rolls down the hill. Like, yeah. It's just when pros can't possibly do what we do out on the golf course because it's so effing frustrating.
Phil snapped.
Come on, let him have... You know, these moments, I get the people who are critical of him, but at the same time, easy on the he should have withdrawn. I do not believe he should have withdrawn, and I do not believe he should have been DQ'd. I think it kind of played out the way. As a matter of fact, you should probably give USGA some credit for not kicking him out of the tournament because they're stuffy as hell, too.
Yeah.
But Mike Davis talked to him. He said, you know what?
And Phil said he talked to Mike Davis, who is the president, and said, hey, do you want me to resign? And he was like, no. He goes, you took your two-shot penalty. You moved on, shot 81, and
that's exactly right.
Play Sunday and go away.
That's exactly right. We'll talk more about this next hour.
You can make a real argument. This is their biggest win in the World Cup history. When you look at Germany as one of the top four favorites defending champions, then I know no one's defended their World Cup in over 56 years, but this German side, you can make an argument they could send two teams to Russia, and both teams would at least make to the quarterfinals. I thought Juan Carlos Osorio was spot on with his tactical game plan, but more importantly, the execution from the players was there, and they easily could have won the game 2-3-0. And that's the biggest takeaway I have from it was it wasn't, you know, with desperation, they nick a goal and then they survive. If they were a little bit more clinical in the final third, they could have won 3-0.
There's ESPN's Taylor Twellman on Mexico's win over Germany in the World Cup. There's been many surprising results so far. Buy or sell, the World Cup has roped you in after this weekend.
The World Cup roped me in just it being the World Cup. So, yeah, I buy it. I get roped into the World Cup every year. It's not like I'm enthralled by the whole thing, but I understand the magnitude of this. And I say this even with golf majors or tennis majors. These are not sports that I watch on a regular basis. Same thing with soccer. But I understand when you have a global spectacle, when you have the pinnacle of your sport, and I understand what the World Cup is. And yeah, you give me a couple interesting games, and you know, Mike texted me in the middle of the Portugal
Spain
game, and you're like, you should be watching this, and you flip over and you see those kind of moments. To me, it'd be a little bit easier if the U.S. was in it and there was someone to root for. But I watched a little bit of Argentina play, and you watch highlights, and so yeah, the World Cup is going to get me regardless. But I guess it was an opening weekend that obviously had some firepower to it. So yeah, my interest is there. It hasn't, I guess, completely swept over to World Cup fever for me, but sure, it's got my attention.
I too will buy this, and I'm a little disgusted that I don't know what you're trying to get at, Mike. Like, why would we not watch the World Cup? It's a great event, and it gets me every year too, or every year that they have it.
Yeah, 4 years.
I'm always watching the World Cup. I think it's cool, and so I don't know why. I don't know why you're trying to send a message that we wouldn't.
Soccer, Mike.
You big jerk. You big elitist soccer bro.
Bro.
So I buy it. It's great.
Greg Popovich still wants to sit down.
And by the way, the Juan Carlos Arroyo game plan, I totally agree. That was a masterful piece of game planning. And that was my big thought going into that match was...
Strategery.
I wonder if his game plan's really going to pay off. And it did. It did. I was right about that.
Greg Popovich still wants to sit down with him face to face and talk about this. San Antonio still feels time is on their side. They don't really have to deal with the threat of losing Kawhi Leonard for nothing in free agency next year until the February trade deadline.
That is Adrian Wojnarowski on the Spurs' patience with Kawhi Leonard. A report today says they do not want to trade him in the Western Conference. Buy or sell, Kawhi will get traded to an Eastern Conference team.
I buy it. I think he ends up in Boston. I think Boston can put together by far the best package. And I think Boston will not have to pay an arm and a leg, because I do think that the further this goes, San Antonio realizes that Kawhi can control where he goes. Right. If he says that I'm not going to re-sign anywhere else, that does drive the price down. Look at like what happened with Paul George. I mean, that was not a huge haul that they ended up getting for him. Now, they ended up getting Oladipo, who ended up being really good for Indiana. But Boston, to me, is the destination. If Boston is willing to roll the dice, and apparently they are, and I just don't know who else matches it. And I don't think that L.A. Is going to be where the Spurs send him. I don't think they're going to want to fold and send Kawhi Leonard to Los Angeles and make that team that much better and put together, quote-unquote, the super team. So I think he ends up in Boston, maybe Philadelphia. But, yeah, I think he ends up in the East. I think that's where San Antonio wants to send him.
I think the only thing that that keeps him out of LA is just what you said, where the Spurs just are like, nope, we're not going to do it. But I think the Lakers will sweeten the pot to the point where they have to. The Lakers do have pieces that can make this deal happen. That's where he wants to go. And I think I would sell this stock and say that he's going to end up in LA, like I've been saying for 2 months. He's going to be there with LeBron James, and he's going to be there with Paul George. And Bill Simmons thinks he's going to be there with Damian Lillard.
Which is the dumbest thing ever, but still. I mean, it's interesting. If you put Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and LeBron, and then you're able to fill them out, like, if you don't have to give up every young piece you have.
Good team. Pretty good team. If they can stay healthy. Stockwatch each Monday brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, and child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. Coming up next.
Space Force.
Here's Mike.
This is a Draft Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
Hey, a quick note to you folks. Our Fan Golf Classic golf tournament is Monday and Tuesday of next week. And we have held back two foursomes. And those will be auctioned off on our show tomorrow for Special Olympics Oregon.
Now, two things. One,
I think it's really sexy.
The golf tournament is sold out and has been for quite some time, for a couple of weeks now. I don't know if you saw this, but Special Olympics had to cancel their summer games.
I did see that.
They said they don't have enough money. They're losing funds. And so this is going to Special Olympics Oregon. It's a great cause. So hopefully someone out there can dig deep and help out a wonderful organization that we partner with every single year that needs your help, that needs the funding, that's struggling right now. And you get to have a great time out at the golf tournament, because that's always a great time.
So Monday and Tuesday out at Langdon Farms, if you wanted to play, didn't get in, we have two foursomes. So listen to our show tomorrow and we will auction those off. It is. What is it? Good question. It's it. What is it? Remember that song?
What?
Yeah.
What? Who? What? Who? Why?
God, that band is on the tip of my tongue. It's it. What is it? It's it. What is it?
Yeah, I got nothing.
Anybody?
No.
Can anybody text that in?
Something tells me you may not be doing the song justice. Is it Dinosaur Jr.?
No, so...
Dinosaur Jones.
For some reason, I feel like I know what song you're trying to do, but I cannot remember the name of it either.
Well Dinosaur Jr. is a real band.
No, I know, but I was calling...
Childish Gambino.
Yeah, Dinosaur Jones.
Dinosaur Jones.
Because that's his real name. If you're really cool, you know that's what he's... That's his other, like, nickname. No. Okay, we're getting bogged down. Listen, it is June 18th.
People are saying it's Faith No More.
Yes, Faith No More.
It is that song.
See, epic. I was singing it so well. All look right. at all these texts coming in.
Yeah, people have got it.
You know what you're talking about.
You are the songbird of our generation.
All right, June 18th, 2018, time for In the News. Your noted newsman here, and boy, do we have a couple of national stories that are great. Well... One's great. The other one pertains to the kids. It's big world news for the kids, which I'll get to in a moment. But first, Space Force.
It's coming.
Space Force.
Donald Trump says Space Force and Air Force will be separate but equal. He used a term from U.S. segregationist history to describe the relationship between the Air Force and his new military branch, the Space Force, calling it separate but equal. He has ordered Space Force, the people, I don't know, he's ordered people, I don't know, some people in the military, to go ahead and start the creation of Space Force.
He wants Space Force.
He has signed the Space Force Directive.
I don't know what to make of it. It doesn't seem real, but Space Force is happening, so I think I'm going to start applying. I don't know what the qualifications are to get on Space Force, but I would like to be a part of it. And this is not going to be NASA, right?
No.
No, this is... So we're going to have the Air Force, we're going to have NASA, and we're going to have Space Force.
One official from the U.S. Defense Department said, the president's direction to begin planning is quite clear. We are implementing his direction. So he is saying... He only floated the Space Force idea out there a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Remember when we were joking about it?
That's where we got the clip from. Space Force!
Now he's saying, let's do this.
So separate... but equal.
He says space... Oh, wait, this is not him. This is the U.S. defense official. It says space is a war-fighting domain, so it is vital that our military maintains its dominance and competitive advantage in that domain. The joint staff will work closely with the Office of the Secretary of Defense and other Defense Department stakeholders in the Congress to implement the president's guidance.
Yeah, he said we're going to have the Air Force and we're going to have Space Force, separate but equal, and it's going to be something so important. Quote...
big.
Is it going to be ocean water big?
It's going to be huge.
Ocean big,
so
ocean water.
Will you apply for, what position will you apply for? Will you apply for czar of lasers?
I was kind of hoping for maybe a rear admiral sort of position with Space Force.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, a rear admiral.
What does that mean?
That's a real thing. Look it up.
Really?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
That's a position in the Navy.
Rear
Admiral. Yes.
You know what that means, don't you?
It means that
if
you're a
naval. If probing ever happens...
I want to be a part of it.
You're the
yes,
guy.
Yes, I feel like I should be in charge of probing.
No, not in charge of. Volunteered for.
Yeah, you are the first volunteer for any sort of probing.
Your rear has been designated.
Look, if I have to take one for the Space Force and the aliens, then that's what has to happen.
What about liaison to extraterrestrial communications? Would you apply for that position?
Nah, I'm not really interested
in that.
Like
the movie Arrival. You have to learn their language.
Yeah, I'm more into the probing side of things. That's just kind of where my interest lies.
Great movie, by the way.
But we'll see what happens. Where does Chewie come in, and can I have the Millennium Falcon? Because I would like that as well.
Potter says he wants to apply for Commander of Stars and Stuff.
Ooh, Stars and Stuff.
Which I think is pretty cool.
Oh, I like it. See, the Rear Admiral is an officer in the U.S. Navy or Coast Guard, and it's ranking above Commodore, but below Vice Admiral.
Commodore?
Yeah.
What's a Commodore?
I don't know. It's something that's, it's above, well, that's...
What? You don't know what you're talking about.
It says right here that
what
a Rear Admiral...
What is a Commodore?
It's a ranking that's below Rear Admiral. That's what it is.
I've never heard of that.
So it goes Commodore, Rear Admiral... and then Vice Admiral. That's what it is. And I'm assuming that Space Force is going to need a Rear Admiral in charge of probing, and that's where I come in.
Do you think...
Or I want to be in charge of Wookiees, because I've always wanted to hang out with one, and I feel like me and Chewie would get along great.
Can I be the Magistrate of the Milky Way?
Yes.
Yeah, why not?
I love that
alliteration
one.
For you.
That's good. You think Buzz Lightyear is fired up? What's he doing?
I'm trying to think of what his because he's got his own little. There's a troop there that Buzz Lightyear is a part of. I can't remember what it is exactly, but there's so many different options here for jobs in the Space Force.
Yeah.
Well, think about the job creating opportunity. Like I'm on board.
A lot of we're gonna need a lot of Space Rangers.
Yes.
It's big up there.
Well, I've seen Starship Troopers. So are we gonna fight giant bugs? How's that gonna work? Although in Starship Troopers, they all shower together, and that seemed kind of cool. Have you ever seen that movie? Denise Richards.
I like her.
Pretty solid.
I mean, I used to.
Look, it's a terrible movie, but there's like 3-4 scenes that are worth watching.
Do you remember when you found out she was white trash?
I know. It was a little disappointing.
It was a little weird.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, it's like Whitney Houston. Like when you find out, you're like,
right.
Man,
that's
damn
a
it.
Good one, Whitney Houston.
You know, like Britney Spears had that when she went through it. You're so disappointing.
Yeah.
You think so highly, and then you find out, not so much.
This isn't the white trash department, but you guys watch Westworld, right?
Yeah.
So Dolores' character?
Yeah.
That I forget her name. I don't know her outside of Westworld.
Yeah.
But she, do you know who she was married to?
No.
So think of Dolores from Westworld.
Yeah.
All like, don't know, they just present her as like this
kind of all-American.
All-American clean cut, yeah.
Yeah.
She was married to Marilyn Manson.
What?
Yeah. Try wrapping your head around that. That blew me away.
And that's, what is it, like Evan Rachel Wood, right, that plays her?
I think that's her name.
She was married to Marilyn Manson?
Yes. And then look at pictures of her. She's very, like, she's just nothing like the character, obviously. She's just,
huh.
in the real world, she's very goth. Not goth. What's the word?
Well, I would, like, Marilyn Manson, I kind of think of as goth.
He's goth, but she's not, did you say golf?
Oh, goth. No.
You can't say goth.
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 Yeah.
No, say it.
Golf.
He can't say goth.
Golf?
What?
What is happening?
Here we go again.
What is happening with the Jared Goff?
Who's winning? What is occurring?
No one knows.
That's fascinating.
Why does your brain put L's in front of those sounds?
Golf. I don't know.
Golf.
So that was, right there was Sook saying golf and Goff, Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Golf. Golf.
Now, what about goth?
Goff.
That was better.
Is that not?
It was better.
It's now better. You got me thinking about it.
We're
well,
in
don't forget
kitchen.
The other one he did, too.
Yeah, you're in my kitchen. It's golf.
Who's winning? What is occurring?
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I think there are some people that are going to look at this and scoff.
They're going to scoff? Wow. Anyway, where were we?
We were talking about Space Force.
Emo? No, we weren't. We were talking about
Space
Dolores.
Force.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the word is. Like, everybody's texting an email, but that's not what it is. I don't know. I don't know. I'm done. Let's go. Let's take a break.
Space Force!
God damn it. Mike, on the fan.
This is a Draft Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, the word I was looking for was alternative.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say about Dolores.
Alternative punk.
Yeah, kind of punk.
Steampunk.
Yeah, grungy a little bit.
Although I do think that the goth thing is...
A little bit, but that's a little different. But certainly Marilyn Manson is goth.
Yeah, and I had no idea. Like, I just assumed, kind of like you, that she was...
Just because of Dolores, she's like pretty straight-laced or whatever.
Kind of like a Midwestern sort of thing.
And if you're wondering, you don't know who we're talking about. Yes, she's a hot.
Mm-hmm. Well, Marilyn Manson, for all of the, you know, what that guy's going on, look at his roster. It's pretty solid.
Yeah, he's got a good, what is he doing now? Is he still?
I think he's still doing the whole Marilyn Manson thing.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Doing that bit?
I don't know how, I mean, obviously no one sells albums much anymore, but I think he still tours and, does the whole, I never understood the allure of that, but it's been successful.
What did he sing? What was his big hit?
The Beautiful People, I think, is the one that probably he's most noted for.
That's right.
But honestly, I mean, obviously he's got his fans, but I think Marilyn Manson, honestly, is just known more for being weird. You know, he wore, like, that weird unitard and the female body and, like, the different color, like, eyes. And I think he's known more for that sort of controversy than he is his actual music.
So here's the big world news today that's big for the kids and Mike. The World Health Organization announced gaming disorder as a new mental health condition.
Well, you missed it. I think you were gone when we talked about this, but there was a story about, I want to say maybe it was last Thursday, that a guy had to put his 9-year-old daughter in rehab for Fortnite.
No, I was here for that.
Were you here for that one?
Yeah.
Like, she freaked out on him, and I mean, it was a whole thing.
I think she was only 8.
Excuse me, I was trying to make her a little more advanced at 9.
Yes, they're calling it digital heroin that the kids are getting hooked on.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you sit there and stare at that screen for 13 hours a day.
Digital heroin?
Digital heroin. No. That's right.
That seems a little scare tactic-y.
That's right, Mike.
Jeez.
Well, it's the newest thing. See, this is your generation's thing. Like, whether it's rock and roll or whether it's weed or, you know, whatever. It's like every generation has the next thing that the old people think is going to destroy society. Speaking of Marilyn Manson, like, that was a big one when we were growing up. Like, Marilyn Manson and Eminem or, like, Ozzy Osbourne, Metallica, death metal. Like, play the records backwards. I want to kill everyone. It's like that sort of thing. And so this is the new one, that video games will be the downfall of society and that, you know, all our kids are going to become stupid.
There are three major diagnostic features or characteristics of gaming disorder. One is that the gaming behavior takes precedence over other activities to the extent that other activities are taken to the periphery. The second feature is impaired control of these behaviors. Even when the negative consequences occur, this behavior continues or even escalates. And a third feature is that the condition leads to significant distress and impairment in personal, family, social, educational, or occupational functioning.
See, and none of this to me seems crazy. Like, I've seen it. I've seen people that cannot live without video games. It becomes something that they rely upon. I think we get addicted to all kinds of things. I think people are addicted to food. I think people are addicted to thousands of different things. And video
games.
We have
very addictive personalities.
Yeah, video games are no different. Sometimes I wonder, like, I think about it with my son, because he plays them and he loves them. But he's able to function in other realms. But, like, I've seen some kids that can't. That is literally all they do, all day, every day. And they can't function out in normal society away from it.
So if you're wondering about your child, they say that for a diagnosis to be made officially, the negative pattern of behavior must last at least 12 months. This is not an episode of a few hours or a few days or even a month where the kids are playing a lot of games and their life is suffering because of it. It's 12 months. But that will be a part of the 11th edition of the International Classification of Diseases.
I guess it does make some sense in the fact that video games are an escape, just like drugs or alcohol can be. And if you're using it as an escape in that sense to ignore all of the other problems in your life and it becomes your sole focus of what you do, then yeah, I guess I could see it being considered this, even though virtual heroin sounds scary.
I just think it's so easy today to whether it's social media. I group it all together, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever, and then you throw in PlayStation, Xbox, whatever your choice of video game is. I just think it's real easy for kids. Life is hard. You know, being a kid is hard. And I think it's easy for them to just fall into that, and you can live, you know, kind of in an online virtual world and kind of escape. I can absolutely see that. None of that shocks me one bit.
Yeah, it's
that's
just
a real
that,
classification.
It's just that there's a fine line. It's like, where do you, because like you said, you can get addicted to pretty much anything. Mm-hmm. Like, am I addicted to golf? Do I not even know that me playing golf negatively affects the other areas of my life?
Well, I don't know.
And
if it's,
when does that get classified as a mental disorder?
I think the definition to me of addiction, right, is when you do something and it has negative effects and yet you keep doing it. So as long as you keep it within a healthy perspective, like, what's the difference between an enthusiastic hobby and an addiction?
Yeah, but the point is, what gets constituted by the World Health Organization when it reaches that point? What gets constituted a mental health disorder and what doesn't?
Yeah.
Right? Like, they can only designate so many things that if you get hooked on them and it checks all these boxes, like digital heroin does. Add it to the list? Like, if that's the case, then everything could be added to the list if it's that detrimental
to your
life.
It's true, but I wonder if there's a difference. And again, I'm an idiot, and I know nothing of what I speak of, but I'm just kind of throwing this out there as an idea. Is there something to, like, when you're golfing, right, and that's what you like to do? Or, you know, someone said they're addicted to fishing. I like riding my bike. I like to work out. Whatever that you're doing, let's say you do it 6 or 7 days a week, you're outside. It's a physical activity, as opposed to sitting in a room, staring at a screen and having those images bombarded. We know that staring at a computer, we know that sort of light can affect everything from the way you sleep to the way you think. And you're having those images kind of poured in from a different reality. Like, when you're golfing, you're not getting a different reality shoved into your head. But when you're playing Fortnite or you're playing Call of Duty, you're playing Madden, you're playing whatever, you have a different world that is being transported in your head. I don't know. To me, there
isn't
seems
that
to
just
be...
like reading books? Minus the flashing images, you're reading a book and you're engrossed in a different world.
Yeah.
And you're escaping from your world to then be in said world.
Do people have reading addictions?
I don't know.
I mean, golf was a bad example. Like this guy says, you can't play golf for 24 hours straight at all and like not quit, you know. I totally get that. So it's a bad example. I'm just saying, in general, you could say that there are a lot of things that negatively affect someone's life in all those ways.
Certainly.
Because they do it too much.
Yeah. I've always...
So what's an addiction and what isn't?
I have always wondered, and I'm not anti-video game. I liked video games growing up. I still occasionally play. I have a PlayStation, and I'll go through phases where I'll play for an hour or two a day, and then I'll go long stretches where I don't. But my son really likes it, and I haven't seen a real negative impact on his life. But I often wonder, and I don't know what studies have been done, but I look at some of the games that get played and some of the stuff that is involved in that, some of the commentary, because I'll go on there sometimes and I'll play with him, and some of the stuff that gets said between players that are playing online. I have always wondered if I've never seen how that couldn't have an impact on you. Maybe not everyone the same, but some of that stuff that's just pumped in hour after hour after hour, and I'm not saying it's turning you into a killer. I'm not saying it's turning you into a freak or causes you to snap. But I have a hard time believing that doesn't have an effect on a kid's developing brain when you have some of that stuff pumped in hour after hour after hour after hour.
I'll say this from personal example is I did this in high school when I was developing. I was on Xbox Live. I heard all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on the person, but for me, it was good because it exposed me to the fact that people can be like this and things like this do exist. And it wasn't like I got shocked later in life. It was like, hey, this
happens. That's kind of my point is that for you, it doesn't. That's why I'm with you. It's an individual thing. But I think a lot of kids that don't get raised in a healthy environment, that don't have good parental support, that don't have a system that kind of helps them acclimate into real world. And that's that's all they have. Yeah, I have always wondered if there is something to that.
All right, that's your In the News for June 18th, 2018. Up next, we have the Hot 5 at 5. You want to talk about a long game. You thought that Oregon State-North Carolina game was long?
Yeah.
How about the Oregon State-Washington game? Still going on. And three World Cup matches today, and the latest on Kawhi Leonard. Also, the Mariners interested in a starting pitching arm. We'll tell you who that is. All next in the Hot 5 at 5 on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.